Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All year long, I've worn my emotions on my sleeve. I got really excited about this hockey team. A lot of you guys got really excited about this hockey team. 24 hours ago, we're all fired up. Season's alive. They're still here. They could do this. They could still have that playoff berth we've been craving. They fell short. They won last night, but they fell short because of all the other mistakes they made along the way. Why did they miss? 248-539-9797. And then it is a bigger conversation. This is a collapse. And I think there are people trying to spin this as some big year of progress. They fell short of making the playoffs. The playoffs was the next step for this hockey team. They fell short. We don't have to sugarcoat it. We don't have to placate people. Everybody listening, we're all grownups. We can handle the truth. This team failed. Doesn't mean next year they'll fail. Doesn't mean the future's not bright. I'm as invested as anybody here. I'm not quitting on the hockey team. I'm not firing Steve Yzerman, but call it what it is. This team had ample opportunities to make the playoffs in a down year across the league, and they failed. It's not a successful season. And I saw so much of the proud of the boys heart emoji. Like,
I think the standard should always be the minimum standard. The low bar is making the playoffs. And even if you are a team that's not expected to make the playoffs, or you're a team that's in a rebuild, it's a failure if you don't make the playoffs, because that's the entire goal, is getting into the tournament. That is, you spend 82 games, months of trying to figure out, how do I get in and extend my season so that I have the chance to win a championship?
If they had said, you know what, this is another developmental year. We're going to throw Casper up. We're going to play Berggren for a good chunk. Edvinson's going to be up before Christmas. It's a developmental year. We're not ready. Okay, I could buy it. That's not what they did. They added a bunch of vets. They added a bunch of guys to try to win. And they were better, but not better enough. To the phones. Joe, Sterling Heights. Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, man, I love your point that you just made. I do think that it is a complete failure. We had an expectation in the middle of the season. They were looking great. My point is, and this may be controversial, if you look at Patrick Kane when he's on the ice, he plays no defense whatsoever. He is a complete defensive liability. As good as he is offensively, to bring him back next year, I feel like we can allocate those resources to somebody that can play two ways. It almost seems clear in his comments that he's not committed in coming back here. I don't believe he wants to come back. I don't believe he wants to sit through a rebuild, and not to beat a dead horse, but the coach has to go. And if Yzerman brings him back, then I think if next year's a failure, Yzerman's on a hot seat. What do you guys think?
If they miss the playoffs next year, I do think the heat starts to get cranked up, right? I mean, they came as close as they could this year to being in and didn't. If they don't get in next year, they would have, by everybody's definition, even the optimists, there's no progress. That's regression. That's going backwards. That's being in reverse. Now, he hit a couple things. He hit Kane and Lalonde in there. Kane has said he thinks the future is bright. Said that last night. Kane is a player who I think really enjoyed playing in the city of Detroit. He's a hockey geek, hockey nerd. I say that like in a good way. He appreciates hockey history. This is an original six city, and he sees, you know, that the fuse just needs to be lit here. Playoff hockey, he has not been a part of in Detroit, would be something special. I think there is a real good chance that Patrick Kane comes back. Lalonde, I don't know. I mean, if Yzerman is as fired up as we were made to believe behind the scenes, he's probably not happy they missed the playoffs. So then you look at this and say, is it on the coach for slow starts, for sluggish finishes back-to-back years? And if it really is only a three-year deal for Lalonde, is this not the time that you hit the eject button and put a different coach in?
That's going to be the decision probably the biggest decision, at least the one earliest that's going to have to be made. We're going to talk about free agency. We'll talk about the draft, but the biggest one is going to be what happens with Derek Lalonde moving forward. Because it has to be one that's going to be made soon. And if you're looking at it, and last year, okay, you get a mulligan. Maybe it's first year. It's the roster wasn't the way it was. They traded. They sold at the trade deadline. Okay, we can rationalize that. What is the rationale behind the collapse at the end of this year? Because yes, you did lose your captain, but you also had a lot of experience that you could have leaned upon to be able to at least maintain where you were, go 500 at that point. They totally fell apart.
Ticket Texter says, take a sip of coffee every time you hear the word collapse this morning. Guys, I'm sorry if we're being redundant. People got commutes. I would just say they're close to the season, 8-15. There's no other word. You guys, you pick a different word. It's not progress. 8-15 down the stretch. They went 7-16 down the stretch last year to close the season. Sure, progress. They were one win better at the last 23 games of the season. Still wasn't good enough. Still not a playoff team. Anyway, back to the phones. Pete and Gross Point, you're on 97.1, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So just a few thoughts. This one's going to sting for a long time just because, preseason, would you have been happy with 91 points? Sure, but much like the Lions, the brass ring was right there, and just the moment got a little too big, lights got a little too bright, and it just hurts that they just couldn't pull it together. And I wouldn't mind seeing a change at coach, but I do think a little bit of this is on maybe Yzerman too. He needs that trade deadline. They probably should have added some blue line help. I think Mo Sider is a great player. He's probably the only untradeable player in Detroit right now. But they got to protect him. Even Lidstrom, for how great he was paired up with other great defensemen like Larry Murphy, Vladimir Konstantinov. They have to get some blue line help. And that would have been the difference. They were almost good enough roster-wise. They just didn't quite have it. But, man, also this one is still going to sting because, you said, what was it, 8-15?
Yeah, brutal. 8-15, just raw win-loss. I think there's three overtime losses in there. But we got down to the end, and it's about finding a way to win the games. That's how you get the extra point there. They needed one more point. Okay, his point about Yzerman and the deadline.
Yeah.
We had those conversations, and it didn't feel like there were a ton of guys he was willing to pay up for this hockey team. Didn't think they were a cup contender. And his thing was, we got just as good a help in Grand Rapids, where I think he really erred was not calling up Simon Edvinson that same day. Where if he's like, hey, we don't need to make a trade. We got McDonald's at home. We're not stopping on the way home. We've got McDonald's at home. Simon Edvinson was the McDonald's at home. And when he came up, he looked good. If he had come up in the middle of the 7-game losing streak instead of after it was already over, do you eke out one more? I think that's a fair criticism of Yzerman at this point.
Sure. I mean, if you're able to prevent 1-2 goals throughout the course of that stretch, does that lead to one more point in the standings, one more win? But again, it's all hindsight. If you bring them up earlier, and I don't know, I'm not one of the hockey elites. I don't know what another 2 weeks or 3 weeks of development in Grand Rapids means for his success in the NHL. It doesn't seem to me like there would be that much more experience or skill or technique gained. So why not at that time? If that's what you're saying, we've got enough of our own sitting there waiting to be called up, then I think the question is, why didn't they call him up sooner?
Ticket Text, relax everyone. The team made huge progress. You'd be complaining if they got in and the Rangers swept them. They're building. I'm excited for next year. I expect them to be very good. I disagree with the Ticket Text. I would not be complaining if they got swept in the playoffs.
No, it would have been something very expected.
Yeah, and we would have said all along we wanted to see this team. To me, progress was playoff hockey at Little Caesars Arena. Progress was graduating into the next tier of hockey teams.
Well, and it's graduating into that next tier when you had the opportunity to. If this was just a, and I know we're having people, and I've compared it. I did yesterday to what happened in 22 with the Lions to what happened this year with, it was more situational of, hey, it's not in your control. And what happened with the Rams and the Seahawks is very similar to what was out of the Wings' control, and that was what was going to happen with the Flyers and the Caps.
I see what people are doing. They're saying, even though you didn't control your own destiny, you fought to the very end, you won at the very end. That shows some kind of chutzpah, some kind of grit out of this team. Okay, But I hate the comparison on surface because it was 8-2 for the Lions, 8-15 for the Red Wings. And it really does minimize or ignore the C word that everybody's sick of us talking about this morning, which is collapse. Take another sip of coffee. We'll get back to it. It's 97.1.
Hey, in an instant, an auto accident can put you in the worst financial position of your life. It's a must to hire the right lawyer who will make sure that the insurance companies pay what they owe you. Injury attorney David Femininio and his team have been making insurance companies pay for almost 30 years, and he can help you with your injury case as well. In fact, David is ready to speak with you personally right now if you call 855-65-CRASH or go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
'97-1. That was the Flyers Capitals empty net goal, courtesy of NBC Sports Philadelphia. I know there's people upset, like the nightmare situation happened. The Flyers needed to win in regulation, or so they thought. Their season was actually over. But so they thought, and they pulled their goalie. They did what they had to do, and anybody blaming Philadelphia should look to Detroit, who didn't do what they had to do leading up to last night.
Mm-hmm.
John? We asked people to help us determine why this team didn't make the playoffs. Here are some of their responses we've been tallying. You brought up goaltending. I brought up the Capitals game, if you want to put it on any one game. The Arizona games have come up. San Jose, 4-goal blown lead. We have the patch. We have Lalonde. We have the Larkin injury. We have a stolen car flag. We have a lack of toughness. We have DeBrincat's vanishing act. We have no deadline moves. If we missed any, you want to double down on any of them, 248-539-9797.
Well, and as the list continues to grow, other than, you know, the patch, they're all legitimate reasons. There's a number of different, it's not ever just one thing that causes a collapse like this. It's a number of different things. It's like, and we keep comparing Wings Lions. It's just like the Lions losing a 17-point lead. It wasn't one play.
Right.
It was 12 different things that happened in the second half, and everybody had a hand in it. This for the Wings, the collapse from the end of February to where we are now out of the playoffs, was a Larkin injury. It's that entire list. I'm not going to go through it. It's the entire list that there is reasons why this didn't have to happen.
John in Royal Oak, you're on 97.1. Good morning.
Hey, boys. Frustrating. I think that's the biggest word that I'm at. I think this conversation is frustrating as well. I think I forgot about the priority patch, and I would put that as the number one reason, because why would you do that in the middle of a season, in the middle of a winning streak? That was just stupid. But I digress. It is on Lalonde, 100%. You take a look at the collapse in March and how they lost those games, 4-0, 4-1 on the Coyotes. How do you not have your team ready against a team like that? The same guys were on the ice all through March, just like they were in February, and Lalonde crapped the bed. He needs to go. He has no emotion. He's the most emotionless coach I've ever seen in all of hockey. That guy needs to go. What Steve Yzerman did was give him the tools to win and get into the playoffs, right? He didn't make the move because he knows that getting in at the eighth seed and getting smoked by Boston isn't what we want as fans and what he wants as an organization. So I support what Yzerman did 100%. Now he needs to get rid of Lalonde, get a goalie, and next year we come back and we actually have a Detroit Red Wings playoff team that we can be proud of and not have to have this conversation in 10 days after we get smoked and swept by the Boston Bruins.
Hard to argue it. John, I think it's a good phone call.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of changes that need to be made.
I think the goalie, though, unfortunately, they're probably going to run Husso back. He's still under contract. Yeah. Got to be healthy. Lyon, don't ask him to be a number one. Ask neither of those guys to carry the team. And then you're probably going to take a third goalie because you don't have an elite one and you just need a body, right? So I don't know if it's Reimer in his mid to late 30s now. I think he's 36.
Well, it's hopefully Husso and healthy.
Yeah.
That's the best on the roster right now. And then Lyon is a guy that comes in as your changeup pitch. Maybe he gets you a couple of hot moments throughout the course of a year, but he played more games this year than he's played in his entire career.
Ticket Texter says, Jim, the Capitals game is a lame excuse. The Capitals were playing for the same thing and wanted it more. It was not up to that game that helped us or that let us collapse. If there was any one game where you got to go toe-to-toe with the team that got in over you on your ice, it's that game.
Yeah, it was that game. It's followed up then by Pittsburgh. It's when they dug themselves a hole. They made life hard for themselves. They had earned a little cachet. They built a little bit of a buffer. Mm-hmm. And that buffer evaporated. And when it did, you start talking about big moments. When you have a chance, when we wake up this morning, the Washington Capitals are in the playoffs and the Detroit Red Wings are not. You played them a week ago. You had a chance. Now, who knows what happens after that? That changes the course of events. But at that moment, you had your own, you could deal with your own business.
Other excuses. The eclipse hurt their eyes. That's why they couldn't see against Washington the next night. Another one says the leap day threw them off. The 29th of February is when the whole skid started.
Oh, yeah, that extra day.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, leap year.
Who's been waiting the longest? Russell, I'm sorry, bud. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. I just had a bit of a retort to some of the Lalonde comments. I think... You know, this team had a lot of third-period comebacks. They beat some good teams. They went into Toronto twice, won, beat Boston twice. They beat Colorado. I think if you're going to criticize them for the games that they lost, like to Arizona, you got to give them some credit for the games that they won, how they battled back in some of these third periods. And, you know, I don't think it changes the trajectory of this team. I think they're as good as, you know, Washington, New York. I mean, Washington's in with a negative 40
yep.
goal differential. I think next year, I mean, you see, can you compete with, the Leafs, the Bruins, you know, some of these, top teams? I mean, try to get to 100 points. And, you know, you're not worried about the wild card. So, I mean, I think it's probably, I mean, yes, it's very frustrating. That Washington loss was huge. But I like the trajectory of this team. And I think a lot of guys grew up, especially you look at Lucas Raymond, how hot he was at the end. And, a lot of things I still like about this team.
Well, of course, listen, Russell, with a season with as many ups and downs as his roller coaster had, yeah, there were ups, absolutely. I still would acknowledge all the points you made. Next year, full year of Edvinson, another leap for Raymond. Sider not being asked to do as much because Edvinson's up next season. You might have two real pairs of defensemen. Sure, another free agent acquisition, a stable goalie situation, a new head coach, a new voice. There's all kinds of reasons. A couple more youngsters that actually stay with the hockey team. Maybe Casper's up next season. There is absolutely reason to believe things are getting better under Steve Yzerman, that the future is still bright in hockey town. All of that is said, but the backdrop is this season wasn't what it could have been. And I have a hard time getting over that, but I know fans are all over the board on this. We've been talking progress. We've been talking collapse. We've been talking biggest reasons. Just in the moment reaction to how the game ended last night, like the most absurd way to miss the playoffs last night. We're going to keep talking Wings, mix in a little bit of Tigers, I think is the plan. I know you guys have a lot to say on the Wings. Let's get to Heather with the news.
All right, we finally got it. So Detroit's Hollywood-inspired sign clearly hasn't grown on GMAT Cash because he has released another diss track number two. So this time the song addresses the nighttime lights that have now been installed on the sign. Which,
oh, he came up with this quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. You got to.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just got lit up last night, right?
I think it was Monday night, actually.
Oh, it was Monday? Oh, okay.
He said a couple days. But yeah, you got to stay on top of it. And then he also addresses the criticism that he apparently received for mocking the sign in his first track. So let's take a listen.
Preach!
Uh-huh.
Church!
G-Mac I like Cash. It. I like it.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Because you like the sign, and all he does is dump on it, though. So come on.
But I like it. I like he's using a creative outlet to share how he feels. Yes. Good for him.
And he's right.
Well, you can each have your own opinion. Okay. I have not seen the sign in person. I'm telling you, but I don't mind the way it looks. I never expected it to be as massive and glorious as the Hollywood sign, right? Like, I knew what it was going to look like. And I think it looks just like they said it was going to look. And I don't mind it.
It sneaks up on you. It's really not this big to do that I thought it was going to be, that it could have been.
There, though? I mean, no.
I like the sign, too. And you can appreciate the song.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
My criticism, a bit of GMAC Cash, and maybe I'll have my own diss track coming up here.
Oh.
Bit of a one-trick pony. Like, all the songs are basically the same.
That's what's so great about it. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
He plays the hits.
He sets the expectation, you know what you're going to get.
Exactly. He keeps the same kind of the same song, but he changes the lyrics. You know,
he doesn't change the expectation, like have a really improving song in the middle of the season and then collapse down the stretch.
You know what you're going to get, and it's great every time.
And I think he may have also been talking about the Red Wings. I'm not just going to take what I'm given. Sorry.
I'm going to get one more in because I got it. Yeah. I just got to. Let's talk something else that's great in Detroit, the Detroit fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Come up.
So Detroit's Ford Fireworks Show could be the very best in the country. So the fireworks have been nominated as one of the best places to see fireworks by USA Today in its 10 Best Readers' Choice Awards for 2024. So this is voted on by the people.
Yep.
As of Tuesday, the annual Detroit show was number one out of 20. And you can go and you can vote online. You have up until 11:59 a.m. on May 13th.
Oh, so it's going to go for a while.
It's going to go for a while. Voting lasts for a while. And of course, this year, the fireworks show is scheduled for 10 p.m. on Monday, June 24th. Have you guys ever went down to see them?
I have.
Yeah.
Oh, I have. You should go.
It is. It's a great experience. They do a great job downtown. And it's a lot of fun.
And
it is a really good show.
It could be the best in the country.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything negative about it.
Good.
Come on. You have traits. Just fulfill everyone's expectation of you.
It's just fireworks, all right? No.
We've all seen them.
You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Year.
That's right.
Boom.
We got a lot to get through before the show wraps. We're going to keep talking Red Wings. We got a comparison cross sport for our baseball team. The Tigers are blank. We'll get to that coming up next. And before the show ends, a thought on Michigan sanctions. Punishment. Does it meet the crime? You're on. Sure. It's 97.1. All right, here we go. We're talking about the best pool in history. Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools, three different levels, perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall high definition screen. You've seen stuff on social media. This is a dream. If you're going somewhere to watch sports, it's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch football, basketball, hockey, baseball now. Swim up bars, insta-ready selfie walls, nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or lounge at the center of the action. Reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street, it's Stadium Swim. All sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. Has there ever been a shootout win that was that anticlimactic?
No, I mean, you knew the season was over.
They knew it too.
Before they even went out there for the first shot.
Just, all right, we're doing layup lines. I mean, season's over. We're just skating out the stretch here. And listen, they won. Thrilling. This team, 3 seconds left. It's David Perron. But it was maybe another 3 seconds later that the Flyers gave up an open, empty net goal. And that was it. All she wrote. And for a season where the Wings had so many chances, I have a hard time, you know, being upset at Tortorella for pulling his goalie. I have a hard time blaming the NHL's overtime point system. Oh, the Wings actually have more wins than the Capitals, more wins than the Islanders. Is it silly? Yes, but I think it's sour grapes today. I think for a team that had chances head-to-head against the Capitals and the Penguins in the last 2 weeks, for a team that lost both Coyote games, there are so many games to point to for this team. How many games did they just flat out not show up for during that 7-game losing skid? They didn't handle their business. I know they won last night, but it's incorrect to say the Wings handled their business. If they handled their business, last night would have clinched, or they would have already been there. They would have clinched a while ago. Yeah, exactly.
So the whole scoring system in the NHL, that's a completely different topic because I don't understand why it is the way it is, or why the tiebreaker is the way it is. But when you're looking at this season, Like, everybody knew how the points were going to be tallied. When they started the season, you were going to be evaluated on how many points you had, and we all knew what it was going to be. So to cry about it now makes no sense.
But Gov hates this. This is one of your things
you
hate.
Right, but it is sour grapes today. You know what you got into. It's the rules this year. Play by the rules. I'm a play by the rules guy. I've been on this wagon for years, though. This is absolutely stupid. Do you get a point in college football when you start overtime at the 25-yard line? No, you don't. Well, I mean, to me, that's just the sport.
Well, this is why
the sport maybe needs to look at getting better, because it's absolutely stupid when you win more games than another team and that's not the tiebreaker.
I am totally fine with looking into it when we don't sound like we're signing. Yeah, when we have the wambulance going the next morning, maybe not the time to do it. The reason, and you know this, Gov, it's because they don't want the shootout to have that level of swing, because once they remove ties, because it used to be the tie point. Now maybe. They go, we don't want to go a shootout. Is that critical where you don't get any points at all, even you lose in a glorified skills contest?
Then go until somebody scores.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't want as much. Do you really want that much more value in letting your offense start in a red zone at the 25-yard line?
I get it. Overtimes are all kind of.
There it is. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Well, you could do 3-2-1. Today's not the day. 248-539-9797. Reasons why they're not in the playoffs. And then just your overall feeling on this hockey team where people have pointed out 91 points, John. Factually, more than last year. So people have done the progress routine today, and they found some good stories over the course of the season.
I got another reason.
I am not selling this as progress. Playoffs were progress. What do you got?
On Twitch here, Three Eggs and Bacon says, nope, none of those are right. It's the Costa lock. It's the reason.
Well, if it did come down to the Capital game, and that was, I guess I kind of set myself up for that.
There's as much value in that as there is in the patch or the flags. Like, there are actual legitimate reasons that we've talked about.
So the patch is fun, but it does kind of let the team off the hook when you ultimately put it on a sewn patch on a jersey for the reason they missed the playoffs. Or
yeah,
my
ridiculous.
Flags on a car or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It had no actual physical impact on the games or the results of the games. But there are so many other, because this, and we talked about this all season long, they're a flawed team. The reason they're battling for a wild card spot, along with Washington, along with Philly, along with Pittsburgh, is because they all have flaws. And I think Detroit's, obviously, we're breaking it down here on a daily basis, and we know what they are. And all of those flaws in a 20-game stretch were highlighted by the fact that Dylan Larkin wasn't there and none of the other vets that they brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that on February the 28th, before we got to Leap Day, the fact that we had a dozen dudes that had scored double-digit goals and then it just evaporates, like, that is something that this team was supposed to be able to rely upon. Now, for one game, two games, okay, yeah, I get that. There's swings in a season. But for the span of 20 games?
Yeah, can't be excuse. Larkin, Ticket Texter says 4-10 without him this year. Like an Algonac. We're going to get back to the Red Wing phone calls, and you guys have been great all morning. People have a lot to say about this hockey team. This is a postmortem. There's a million reasons why they've missed. We're writing them all down and keeping track of them. But also the vibe, the mentality. Progress, collapse, success, not a success. John, I said there was a Tiger comparison I wanted to make just real quick.
Yeah.
Tigers played yesterday. They won yesterday. And they won the way... And the one way they know how to win. Ugly.
It's been effective.
It's effective. 10-7. I'm not complaining. You beat the Texas Rangers.
They're one step closer to our, 16-9?
16-14.
16-14. Yeah,
winning record at the end of April is what we both said.
Yeah.
The comparison I have is a cross-sport comparison. They're a Big Ten football team, like an old-school Big Ten football team, where they can win.
Oh, you're going full Stony. They're Iowa.
Oh, no. See, I was trying to avoid that.
They're Iowa.
Let's call them Wisconsin just to be.
Oh, man.
Just so I'm not sitting.
Is it just whoever sits in that seat? Oh, my goodness. They're Iowa. Really? Sorry.
Get it out. Go ahead. I see the comparison. They have one way to win, right? The old school Big Ten teams, Iowa being one, Wisconsin being another.
Iowa.
You have a sister.
MSU being another, right? You know, Javon Ringer, run the ball, play defense. That's the only way to win, right? Pitching, bullpen, pinch hitter late, eke out low scoring, ugly games. Run the ball, play defense. It's the same formula. It's the only formula to win. Do you agree with me that the Detroit Tigers are an old school Big Ten football team?
Do I think the Detroit Tigers are the Iowa Hawkeyes? I can see where you get that comparison, and I don't know that it's that far off, but this is a baseball team that they're deficient offensively. No question. They've got to manufacture runs. And we've seen Javi Baez start off an inning with a home run, and it leads to four. Javi Baez hasn't done much early in the season. What he gets a single, steals second, a well-placed fly out, pushes them to third, and then they score. And that's how they win a game. Like, this is how the Tigers are going to win games for now.
John, they had
and an listening inning. To Andy Dierks yesterday, by the way, I think Andy's
great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He was so much fun to listen to yesterday. But I don't know if this is, he obviously played the game and he knows more about the ups and downs and how hard it can be at the beginning of games or the beginning of seasons to hit. And he basically said, yeah, they're eventually going to hit. Like, we all wish they'd get there sooner. They're eventually going to hit. So this is how they have to win games now. And if this is how they have to win games all season, so be it. It may not be exciting. It's not flashy, but I'm fine with them winning games this way as long as they continue to win games this way.
There was an inning yesterday where they got a triple from Kerry Carpenter and a Javi Baez walk. Imagine that. First time since September of last year. John, they didn't score in the inning. It's a little like old Big Ten football, right? Where you're going, oh boy, we're going to need a lot to go right to score. It's not like you're going to hit a big play. You're not going to hit a lot of home runs. You're going to need, like you said, you draw a walk, you advance. Like, that's Vierling taking advantage of a pass ball. Like, that's Big Ten football. Take advantage of a pass ball, right? Grimy, gritty, ugly ways to win. And I give AJ Hinch a lot of credit, by the way, too. He put Zach McKinstry in the three hole, which is like, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. His explanation made sense. He wanted to stack lefties knowing they had one lefty in the bullpen, only one. And once that guy came in, they jump him.
Yeah.
And they did. And they got the lead, and they won the game. They kind of have to smoke and mirrors their way to win.
Well, and this is where the value of A.J. Hinch is trying to manufacture some, putting guys in position to be successful at critical moments.
I don't think there's any better cross sports comparison than what you made, so I think you win, okay? If you're looking for another one, I guess I go to the boring factor. It's so boring.
Virginia hoops?
Possibly, but maybe winning a race on caution.
Oh, like NASCAR or IndyCar?
Yeah. I mean, is there any worse way to win?
But a win's a win's a win.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
That's the only thing that matters.
The wings.
That's the backdrop, right? For a hockey team that didn't find the little ways to eke out a win here or there, would have made all the difference in the world. I'm certainly not going to complain when the Tigers do it. 248-539-9797. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. If you want to jump in line, ticket, text, phones, 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA play-in tournament gives teams the chance to play their way into the postseason, so it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel can play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, whether you win or lose. And you can use that during the NBA playoffs. I'll say that again. Just place any $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets, whether you win or lose. And you can bet on things such as, say, three-pointers made in the game. Maybe it's an individual that makes three-pointers. Over-under point totals. First basket score. So much more. So download the app. Explore. They've got some parlays that you could put together as well. So just go to FanDuel.com/Jansen to get started and learn more. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA, and 97.1 the ticket. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
That's a guy you feel the worst for, Dylan Larkin. He's the captain. He played a damn good season, career high in goals, emotional leader. You're gutted. I mean, they won last night, but they knew they didn't control their own destiny. And that shootout at the end, the most anticlimactic thing possible. Where are you guys at with this team? 248-539-9797. We've talked about its success, not success. Is it a year of progress or is it a collapse? It's kind of both, but which is it more of? Chad in Birmingham, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I was at the game on Monday. It was absolutely electric. The comeback last night was also amazing. But, you know, it doesn't change the fact this team finished the season 8-15. They went on a 7-game losing streak. They lost to Washington. They got beat by Arizona twice. And, you know, you listen to the coach last night after the game. He makes these statements saying, oh, you know, we overachieved. People picked us to be seventh in the division. I mean, I just don't know if that's a guy you want leading your team that thinks missing the playoffs to a bad Washington team, to a bad Philly team, and to a bad Pittsburgh team. I mean, you know, did we overachieve? I don't think so. I don't know what this team needs, but, you know, I just think it was a bad end to the season, another collapse similar to the year before, and they got some work to do. But, you know, I still believe in Yzerman. I think that he's got a plan, and I think we're headed in the right direction, but, you know, just they didn't have it at the end of the year. They didn't deserve it.
Chad, you and I could not be more in sync. Simpatico, 100%. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. This isn't like Yzerman's got to go. His rebuild has failed or anything like that. I think they're going to keep getting better. But I would have loved the coach to have felt the sting the way the captain did and not that, well, you know, hey, we overachieved. It's never sat well with me.
No, I don't think they overachieved. I think they pretty much achieved what most people thought, is that they were going to be a team that could make the playoffs. And in February, we reevaluated and said this is a team that should make the playoffs. They had created a buffer for themselves so they could have a slump. But at some point, you got to come out of the slump. And they just came out too late.
And Kane had said, we could beat anybody in a 7-game series. So that's like a veteran leader who's won 3 Stanley Cups goes, we can beat anybody in a 7-game series. And your coach goes, we're supposed to be the seventh team in our division. Like, hey, I prefer more of the mentality of Kane. Even if you're wrong, I like that belief. And I don't think he was blowing smoke. Kane's seen it. Yeah. He was seeing it in the moment. I don't think Dylan Larkin is like, hey, at least we overachieved. Like, the poor dude hasn't been to the playoffs since he was 19. He had no facial hair. Henrik Zetterberg's the captain, and they're playing at Joe Louis Arena. Like,
right.
I don't think he looked at this season and goes, hey, it's progress. I'm sure he sounds all broken up about it. And that's kind of how I think most fans would feel today.
Well, I think feel that way after the game. And then you get a chance to sleep on it. And some people wake up and they feel the same way. Others wake up and they're ready to move on. They're ready to look at the big picture. And it doesn't mean that they cared any more or less about the collapse at the end of the year. It's just the fact that they've turned the page. They've gone through the 7 stages of grief or whatever, however many stages there are. They're just further along that path. And they're willing to look back and say, okay, and athletes, some have this ability as well where it happens and you can be hurt by it. You can do all those things. But then at some point, you've got to flip that switch and say, okay, how do we prevent this from happening again? What do we have to do looking at next year? And some of those guys in that locker room are already thinking about that. And they should be, even though they still have that hurt and that knot in their stomach. But that's going to be what motivates them to look at this critically and say, how do we prevent this from happening again? What could I have done on February 29th through April the 1st to make sure that we had just gotten one more point? That's all they needed, was one more point.
Do you guys think that people maybe moved on so quick or kind of accepted it for what it is and are looking at the positives going forward? Because they got 7 out of 8 points the last 4 games. People really probably enjoyed this. I don't know. I think maybe there's more of a, you know, collapse talk if they truly collapsed at the end.
Like if they had lost last night, you're saying.
They were out by 5 points.
Like if they lost 3 of the last 4 games. Oh, okay. Or right. The 7-game losing streak happened the last 7 games. But that would have been epic.
So if you take away all of the emotion of not being in the playoffs and you look at how exciting the last 4 games were, The fact that even more so than that, but you go into overtime and it's, you know, the very last one, you score with 3.3 seconds. You get a slap shot earlier in the game from Mo Sider from the blue line. Like, there is great excitement in a playoff chase, and there's great excitement in winning these games the way that they did, but the ultimate goal wasn't just making it exciting, it's being able to get to the next step.
The last four games, this is the way they were early in the year, though. They were high-scoring games.
Yeah.
They were winning ways that you typically, well, you know, the whole four, you needed to score four more goals and have success and all that. And, you know, I think the bigger picture is like one of the biggest reasons why I think they missed the playoffs is pretty simple. Goals allowed. Eighth most goals allowed in the league. Yeah, there's not even a playoff team close to them.
I believe Lalonde coached defense with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I thought last night was kind of the perfect snapshot of the season in the sense that they were trailing all game. Like, this is such an unsustainable way to play hockey when you have to keep, and it's exciting, to John's point. It's exciting when you come back, when you rally once, twice, three times in the same game, when you rally the game before the night before and everybody's feeling good. Winning is good. Hot take. But this isn't sustainable. And that was the talk early in the year. You mentioned that's the style of play they played early in the year. You can't expect to win 5-4, 6-5 hockey games. Remember, we had that stat. They like wouldn't win a game if they didn't score at least four goals. That was a thing up until the new year for this hockey team. And I think that's part of the discussion here is they were good, just not good enough. And I thought last night was the perfect snapshot where they dug themselves a hole, common theme all season, thought they dug themselves out of it. We had a couple of those moments along the way, but ultimately didn't do enough.
I have Kane's comments, and they're even better than I remember. They were happened on February 25.
Oh boy!
And Patrick Kane was, I believe, on a 7-game point streak.
Sounds right.
And so when we come back, I'm going to read these off to you. I don't know that we have time to gather the audio, but I am going to read these off to you, and then I want your reaction because this is their mindset. On February 25.
Okay, I want you to read those to me, and I want you to do me a favor in the 9 o'clock hour. Yep. It's 97.1.